Hey everybody, I'm Matthew Elaria, and you're watching the Faith for Life broadcast. Let's pray and release faith over today's broadcast, and then we'll get right into the Word. Father, we do thank you again today, Lord, for your Word. We ask you today for revelation of your Word. We ask you today for grace and help to receive it, to put it into practice, and to see it work in our lives. And Lord, I release my faith today over everybody watching the broadcast. And I thank you for ministering to them today through this broadcast in a great and in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, last time on the broadcast, we started a new series that we're calling No Good Thing. And in this teaching, we're learning about the importance of getting a revelation that our God is a good God. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to go over to Psalm 84 again, and let's look there again at our foundation text. Psalm 84, verse 11 says this, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Praise the Lord. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And then Psalm 85, 12 says this, "The Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase." The Lord shall give that which is good. And then Psalm 145, 8 says, "The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy." Verse 9 says, "The Lord is good to all." And so last time on the broadcast, we talked about how God is not holding out on us, that God is not trying to keep good from us, but He is trying to get good to us. And the danger of lacking revelation about the goodness of God, the danger of believing that God is withholding good from you, that God's trying to keep you from good, is that it makes room for rebellion. Why follow a God? Why trust a God who is not for your good? And this is how the enemy got Adam and Eve to rebel. He got them to believe God's holding out on you. He doesn't want you to eat of that tree because there's something good that you're going to see, something good you're going to be, something good you're going to know, and God doesn't want you to enjoy all those good things. He got them to believe that, and that made room for their rebellion. Same thing with the children of Israel who didn't go into the promised land. They said in the scripture they believed that God hated them, and that's why they rebelled. But then on the other end of that, Joshua and Caleb, they made this statement. They said, "The Lord is with us." See, they knew God was good and God was for their good. And the scripture says about them that they wholly followed the Lord. Why didn't they rebel? Because they believed that their God was a good God and He was not withholding any good thing from them. But on the contrary, He was trying to get good things to them. And believing that and knowing that lays the groundwork for following God fully and then enjoying the good things that He wants you to enjoy in your life. Praise the Lord. Now I want to go over to Psalm 35, and we're going to look there at verse 27. And on today's broadcast, the title of today's broadcast is "Who Do Men Say That I Am?" One of the enemy's favorite things to do is to get us to see God in a way that He is not. To see God in a way that He is not. And he likes to portray God as one who is holding out on you, as one who is not good, as one who withholds good, as one who is not completely for your good. What are we talking about? One of the devil's favorite things to do is to paint God in a negative light, to get people to see God in a way he is not. And one of his favorite things to portray God as is as one who is not good, one who's not for your good, one who withholds good, one who's not completely for your good. He likes to portray God this way. Now, Psalm 35:27 says this. It says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." Now, prosperity there is not just talking about money. When people use the word prosperity and use it in the sense and define it as meaning money, you don't know what prosperity is. If you look up that word prosperity, it means to do well. And when you're talking about doing well, finances and money is just one area you can be doing well in. I like to think of prosperity as being fivefold: spirit, soul, body, relationships, and finances. And God takes pleasure in you doing well in all five areas. And so a person can have a lot of money and be prospering where finances are concerned, but not be prospering in any other area of their life. And friend, if you have a lot of money, but you're not prospering in your spirit, you're not saved and born again, well, then you're not a prosperous person. And so prosperity is talking about more than just finances and money. But what did this scripture say? It says that God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. If you look up that word pleasure, it means he delights in our prosperity. Delights actually means it's a source of great pleasure. So you and I prospering, you and I doing well, you and I experiencing and enjoying good things in our lives, that is a source of great pleasure for our God. He delights in it. He takes pleasure in it. And when he sees his people doing well, it doesn't just please him, it greatly pleases him. Praise the Lord. Now this scripture says that you and I should say continually, "Let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." So all the time, continually, you and I should be saying, "God likes it when I do well. God likes it when I prosper. He likes it when I prosper in my spirit. He likes it when I prosper in my soul, in my mind, and my emotions. He likes it when I prosper in my body. God likes it when my body is healed and whole and strong and well. That's a source of great pleasure for him. God likes it when I'm prospering in my relationships and prospering in my marriage and have good relationships with my friends and my family. That's a source of great pleasure for God. He doesn't like it when there's strife in my relationships and when there's dissension and disagreement and these kinds of things, hate and strife. God does not like that when that's going on in my life. That gives him no pleasure. No, he likes it when I'm prospering in my relationships. And here's something else God likes. God likes it when I'm doing well financially and materially. He likes it when I have abundance and when I'm overflowing and when I have more than enough. That is a source of great pleasure for God. And he doesn't like it when I can't pay my bills or when I don't have what I need financially or when I'm in a lot of debt financially or falling behind. God, that is not a source of pleasure for God. He gets no pleasure in that. He takes pleasure in my prosperity. Friend, you and I, according to this verse, are supposed to be saying things like this continually, all the time. We need to be talking about how God likes it when we prosper and do well. Praise the Lord. Now, a lot of people don't like that kind of talk. I'm not here to get in an argument with anybody. I would just point you to that verse in Psalm 35, 27, which says that you and I should say continually, "Let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of His people." Now, why? Many people have left the idea that God doesn't care all that much about our prosperity. That he's not interested really in our prosperity. And you should run from preachers that preach prosperity because they're preaching a different kind of gospel. This is what a lot of people say. Well, what do we do with this verse right here in Psalm 35, 27? To believe like that, you have to ignore this verse. God told Joshua, He said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but meditate therein day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that's written therein. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success." God was teaching Joshua how to prosper, and yet many people, even Christians, leave you and I with the idea that God really doesn't care about our prosperity, particularly in this life. He's just not interested in us prospering. That's not what's important to Him. What's important to Him is us being pious, us being holy, those kind of things. But our prosperity, that's not important to Him. Well, it is important to God that you and I live a holy life. That's important to Him as well. You know, two things can be important to God. Two things can be true. Praise the Lord. But friend, not only does God care about our prosperity, when we prosper, according to this verse, it is a source of great pleasure for Him. And He's telling us in this verse, say this all the time, that God takes pleasure in my prosperity. Now, why would you have to say that all the time? Because the enemy all the time is constantly trying to get you to believe the opposite of that, that God is not good. He's withholding good from you. He's trying to keep good from you. He doesn't care about your prosperity. All the time, the enemy's trying to get you to believe like that. It's the first thing he ever tried to get mankind to believe, is that God was holding out on them. We read it yesterday, or last time on the broadcast, in Genesis 3. He's working all the time to get you to believe that God's withholding good, God's trying to keep you from good. Why? Because He wants you to not trust, He wants you to not follow, He wants you to rebel. And because He's doing that all the time, that is why you and I need to continually say, God takes pleasure in my prosperity. He is a good God. He's for my good. He's not trying to keep me from good. He's trying to lead me into good. Praise the Lord. Now, friend, how you see God. What are we talking about on the broadcast today? Who do men say that I am? This is a phrase that Jesus asked His disciples in Matthew 16. He said, "Who do men say that I am?" And then they said, "Some say you're Elijah, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're one of the prophets." And then Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And it is important, not just who God is. I mean, that's the ultimate of importance, who He is. But for you, it's as important who you say He is. Because if you say He is something He is not, you will not enjoy Him in your life the way He actually is. You will enjoy in your life who you say He is. Now why can I talk like that? When Jesus came to His hometown in Mark chapter 6, there were some that said, "This is Mary's son. This is James's brother. This is the carpenter." And because that's who they said He was, that's what they experienced Him to be in their lives. And there in Jesus' hometown, He did no miracles. He did no mighty works. Well, why is that? Everywhere else He is going, people are experiencing the anointing. They're experiencing miracles. They're hearing these great messages and teachings. And yet in His hometown, they're not experiencing that. Why? Because in His hometown, they did not see Him as the Messiah, the anointed one, the one sent by God. They didn't see him that way, and that affected their experience with him. Yet everywhere else he went, people saw him as the anointed one, and then they experienced something completely different than those that were living in Jesus' hometown. And friend, you can have a completely different experience with God than even other Christians do, because how you see him and how they see him is completely different. And what you and I want to do is we want to see God for how he truly is. And how truly he is he is a good God who is withholding no good thing from you. That's how he truly is. Now, many don't believe that about him, and so it affects their experience with him in their lives. Praise the Lord. How you see God affects how you respond to him. And then how you respond to him affects what he is able to do and be in your life. We see that in Jesus' hometown versus other places he went. How they saw him affected how they responded to him. In Jesus' hometown, there was no faith. There was no honor. They were offended. They responded the wrong way because they saw him the wrong way, and that affected what he was able to be to them. You know, we see it in Joshua and Caleb and the children of Israel. How they saw God affected how they responded to him, and then affected what he was able to do in their lives. Joshua and Caleb saw him as one who's for us. The others saw him as one who hates us. Well, because they saw him that way, they rebelled. Because Joshua and Caleb saw God that way, they followed. And these people that rebelled missed out on the promised land. And Joshua and Caleb enjoyed the promised land. Why was it? It had to do with how they saw God, which affected how they responded to him, which affected what they enjoyed in their lives. And so Satan can't change God. God is who he is. And what you believe about God, friend, doesn't change who God is. But the devil can't change who God is. And so he endeavors to infect us with wrong beliefs about God, knowing that how we see God affects how we respond to God, and that affects what God is able to do and be in our lives. And what the enemy wants is he wants us to look at God with a raised eyebrow, that God's holding out on us, God's not for our good, so that we rebel and don't trust and don't follow. And so, friend, who you say God is, it's vitally important. In Jesus' hometown, what they said about him was not the full truth about him. Was he Mary's son? Yes. Was he the carpenter at one point? Yes. Was he James' brother? Yes. But that's not all he was. He was some other things that they never experienced him to be. Who you say God is vitally important. Because it's going to affect how you respond to him, and it's going to affect what he can do and be in your life. You know, some believers say God is their Savior. Jesus is their Savior. But they don't say he's the healer. They don't say he's the one who wants them to prosper. They don't say he's the one who will deliver them and give them victory in this life. And so, although they enjoy God as their Savior, they never enjoy these other things that God wants to do for them. And it is true, God is your Savior. Nothing bigger than that. But there are some other things God wants to be in your life. But people don't enjoy it because they don't see him that way. And so how you see God is a big deal. It's going to affect how you respond to him, and then it's going to affect what he can do and be in your life. And so I want to close today's broadcast in the time we have left and give you these four things about God. And these are four things, friend, that you need to get settled into your heart and in your life. Number one is this: God is good and he does good. Psalm 119, 168 in the New Living Translation says, "You are good and you do only good." Come on, friends, say it with me. God is good and he does good. and I like the New Living, He does only good. Number one, God is good and He does good. Number two, we've touched on it multiple times already, God is not withholding good from you. We read it in Psalm 84, verse 11, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Number one, God is good and He does good. Number two, He's not withholding good. And then number three, God is for me. He is for my good. Psalm 56, verse 9 says this, when I cry unto you, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. God is for me. What did the psalmist know? God is for my good. Genesis 12, 3, God said, I'll bless them that bless you. I'll curse them that curse you. What's the revelation there? I'm for your good. Somebody blesses you, I'm going to bless them because I'm for your good. Somebody curses you, I'm going to curse them. Why? Because I'm for your good. Say it with me, friend. God is good and He does good. And God is not withholding good from me. And then number three, what about it? God is for my good. He's for my good. And then I like this. Number four, all the time, God is endeavoring to lead me into good and get good to me. All the time He's doing this. In Psalm 81, verse 13, He said, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me and Israel had walked in my ways, I would have soon subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. Verse 16, I would have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, with honey out of the rock. I would have satisfied them. What was God saying in that verse? I'm trying to get my people into good, but they won't listen to me. And if they just listened to me, I would have led them into a good place. Because all the time, I'm trying to get good to my people. I'm trying to bring them into a good place because I'm a good God. And I do good. And I don't withhold good. And I'm for your good. Friend, I'm telling you right now, you need to get rooted in these truths. Praise the Lord. I got excited and I needed to read you some more verses about God wanting to endeavor all the time to lead you into a good place and to get good to you. Psalm 66 verse 12 says, you brought us out into a wealthy place. Deuteronomy 8:7 says, the Lord brings you into a good land. And then John chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And if you want to see the kind of place God wants to lead you and I into, read Psalm 23, green pastures, still waters, table before you in the presence of your enemies, goodness and mercy. That's the place God wants to lead you into. And so you need to get these four things. Friend, I'm talking about you get them settled to where nothing can get you to believe anything but what these four things say. Get settled, get rooted and grounded in these four truths. Number one, God is good and He does good. Number two, He's not withholding good. Number three, He's for your good. And number four, all the time, He is endeavoring to lead you into good and get good to you, not keep good from you. That's how I see God. When people ask, who do you say God is? That's who I say He is. Because that's who He says He is in His Word. And don't ever let the devil convince you that God is anything but those four things. Who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? God, I say that you're good. I say that you do good, that you don't withhold good, that you're for my good, and that you're endeavoring to lead me into a good place. And friends, say it continually. Say it all the time. God takes pleasure in my prosperity. He's a good God. He does good. He's not withholding good from me. He's trying to get good to me. He's for my good. And all the time, He's leading me into a good place. Friend, I want to challenge you to make that part of your daily confession, something that you say multiple times, every day, all day, continually. The Lord takes pleasure in my prosperity. And my God is a good God, and He only does good things. And He is not withholding good from me. He is for my good. And all the time, He's endeavoring to lead me into something good. Friend, that creates a platform and a foundation for you to then trust God fully and follow God fully. And that's going to end up in you enjoying an abundance of His goodness in your life. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You today for how good You are and how good You've been to us. Lord, we ask You to help us today to not believe any of the devil's lies that he's trying to tell us about You. And help us to get rooted in the reality that You are good and You do good, that You don't withhold good, that You're for our good, and that You're trying to lead us into good all the time. Help us to get rooted in the reality that You are a good God. And Father, we're believing all throughout this series that that revelation will grow deeper. It'll grow stronger. It'll grow further. And we do thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, thank you so much for watching today's broadcast. Hadn't this series been good so far? Man, I'm so excited for the upcoming episodes. And you are not going to want to miss what's next. So make sure you join us next time as we continue this powerful series that we're calling No Good Thing. You don't want to miss what's next. We'll see you then. Hey, we got a free offer going on right now at the ministry. I'd like to send you a free copy of my book, Victory in Troubled Times. In this book, I give you 5 keys from the Word of God that will help you overcome any challenge that you face in life. Friend, this is a powerful book. It's a powerful tool, and I want to get it into your hands. And so if you'll just email the ministry, info@mam.tv, give us your name and mailing address, we will ship this book out to you at no charge. And right now, we're going to throw in a copy of our mini book, Faith Declarations. In this book, you will find declarations of faith for almost any area of your life. These things are so powerful to speak over your life daily, and this will also be a tremendous blessing to you. And so, hey, I want to get both of these into your hands at no charge. All you got to do is email the ministry, info@mam.tv, give us your name and mailing address, and we will send them out to you, and they will be a blessing in your life. Praise the Lord.